God doesn't choose the qualified, He qualifies the chosen. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Monday, and God wants us to remember that nothing can happen to us that God and we together cannot handle. Do you believe that? I know I always ask you that on Monday, but it's an important act of faith. You step out in faith that God is going to be with you today and help you to handle the challenges that each Monday brings, whether it's health, family, job, money, situations in traffic. There's going to be challenges, you know? Life is filled with challenges. That's how we grow strong. That's how we show our faith. You know, where there is no risk, there is no faith. So today, make the act of faith. Step out in faith that you believe that God is with you, and you're going to be able to deal with whatever today brings. And not by your own strength, but by the grace of God, by the strength of God. Well, here's the scripture quote I want to use for today's reflection. Joyful reflection. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you. That's from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 16. That's why you can see I opened the program by bringing to your attention, God does not choose the qualified, He qualifies the chosen. And to make that point, let me go through some of the people, a list of the people God chose to do His will, to make His good news known, to bring about the kingdom. Notice what in their human condition they were weak, but then when God chose them, He made them strong. So talking about weakness, Noah was a drunk. Isaac was a dreamer. Leah was unattractive. Moses could not talk plainly. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Jeremiah and Timothy were considered too young. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Paul was a persecutor of Christians when he was Saul. Abraham was too old to have children. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Gideon was afraid. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair and was a murderer. Isaiah preached naked. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptizer ate bugs. The disciples fell asleep while they were supposed to pray. Mary Magdalene was considered demon-possessed. Zacchaeus was too small. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. Now, with all that in mind, you can see that God does not choose the qualified. He qualifies the chosen. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why me? Now, most often when people ask that question, why me, they're referring to, why me did something negative happen to me? But let's ask the question today, why me in a positive sense? Using the scripture of today's reflection, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you, God said. Why me? Why did God choose me? Why did God choose you? Well, if you grew up in the era that I grew up in, where we used the Baltimore Catechism to learn our religion lessons, we know the very first question, who made me? God made me. Why did God make me? To know, love, and serve Him in this world and be eternally happy with Him forever in the next. So, why God chose us is certainly a mystery. God is always involved in mystery, from His very existence to the way He interacts with us. And that's captured so very powerfully in Psalm 139. I want to share Psalm 139 with you right now. And I want to share it from a translation called The Message. There's so many English translations out there. Some are very, very scholarly. And some are just in a translation that's real easy for us to use and to pray about. And that would be the case of The Message. Here's Psalm 139. God, investigate my life. get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you, even from a distance. You know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Oh yes, you shape me first inside, then out. You form me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. Your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful. God, I'll never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them, any more than I can count the sand of the sea. Oh, let me rise in the morning and live always with you. And please, God, do away with wickedness for good. And you murderers, out of here. All the men and women who belittle you, God, infatuated with cheap God imitations. See how I hate those who hate you, God. See how I loathe all this godless arrogance. I hate it with pure, unadulterated hatred. Your enemies are my enemies. Investigate me, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. Isn't that powerful? So God does know us inside and out. He knew us before we were knit in our mother's womb. So what is our vocation? Our vocation is to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. And with the vocation comes the grace. So if you're a mother, you become a Christian mother by letting the grace of Jesus Christ help you to be a good mother. You can become a Christian father. Okay? The Christian father. Father is not a title, father is an activity. Men who have become fathers, if they're really going to be followers of Jesus Christ, they have to walk in His footsteps, imitate Him. And teenagers too. It's not enough to be a teenager. You have to be a Christian teenager. A teenager who wants to do God's will, who will not give in to peer pressure, who will make difficult decisions to follow Jesus when you're ridiculed and laughed at and nobody wants to follow you. And doctors. Doctors have to be Christian doctors if they call themselves followers of Jesus Christ, so that they can give the attention to their patients the way Jesus, the divine physician, would take care of them. And yes, even lawyers. Lawyers who have come under such ridicule over the past couple of decades. Lawyers, you have to be Christian lawyers. You have to practice law in a way that gives people their rights, that they come to know the power of God in their life, just as you know the power of God in your life. And if you're a boss, if you're an executive, if you deal with millions and millions of dollars and have hundreds, if not thousands, of employees in your business, you have to be a Christian executive. You have to do what God wants you to do. You have to make godly decisions in dealing with personnel. You have to make godly decisions in handling millions and millions of dollars. And it's true about priests. Yes, priests. I'm a priest. I don't want to be a pagan priest. I want to be a Christian priest. I want to be a Catholic Christian priest. One of the questions I ask priests when I give priest retreats, I ask them this question. You know, say you got to a point in your life where you didn't believe in God, but you didn't want to leave because you were pretty comfortable. Didn't want to leave the priesthood, but you didn't believe in God. How long would it take for your parishioners to realize that you no longer believed in God? How soon would they see the difference, not believing God anymore when making your life. Yeah, we have to be Christian priests. We have to be people who are willing to lay down our life for the sheep, like a good shepherd. We have to be willing to let God really work very powerfully in our lives. And so you see, with the vocation comes the grace. And God, throughout the history of the Bible, did not choose the qualified, the high and the mighty. He qualified the chosen, often the little ones, God's little people, God's people who handed their life over to God after perhaps making terrible mistakes in their youth, became very powerful men and women who followed God, who brought the good news to people, who made a difference in people's lives when it came to knowing God and doing God's will. Your call, your choice. I say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Our prayer partners are the people who deliver Meals on Wheels. They render a wonderful service. They're volunteers. They pick up the food. They go. They deliver the food, often spending a moment or even longer with the people, cheering them up, offering them a kind word, perhaps making them smile. May God bless them and keep them safe while they're on the road delivering their Meals on Wheels. May God bless all the people who make donations so that the Meals on Wheels can be offered at very minimal price. Today's food for thought goes like this. Love is strengthening. Love is strengthened by working through conflicts together, right? Christianity is not a you and me God, it's a you and we God. It's a community of fear. When we work together, we can handle the crises, the disappointments, the conflicts. Alright, small attempt to make you smile or laugh, okay? See if you get this. These two priests were playing a card game. All of a sudden, the one priest laid down all his cards, and he said to the other priest, "Forgive me, Father, for I have ginned." You get it? They were playing a game of chin. Play on words there. "Forgive me, Father, for I have ginned." I thought that was clever. Well, would you like to contact me? You can, you know. You can drop me a note. Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me know that you listen to the program and whether you enjoy it or not. You can give me prayer intentions. I faithfully take your prayer intentions to prayer when I go to prayer each day. You can let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. It comes out 6 times a year. There's no charge for it. It tells you where I'm preaching. It's filled with humor, inspiration. A lot of information about my work with the very poor in Oaxaca, Mexico, at the Anacetar Hospital that I built for the poor and sick. You can send a donation, help me keep the hospital open. You make the check out to T.S. and Thomas, T.A.S.H., Inc., and send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. If you use the Internet, visit my website at Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Love to hear from you. Let's pray together. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore you.